Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Puncha Vihari. Gopi Jana Vava Giribadadhari. Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Astatara Sattva Sri Sri Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. Today we're going to go through text 18 through 22. 18 through 21 don't have purports, so I'll just read them myself and then we'll chant 22 together. Text 18. Prabhavurvayavaschandas tamapamsavanam arayan digyo nipetur gravana chepanai prahitaiva. Translation. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner, as if thrown by machine guns. Text 19. Jarnashta bhagana braugai savidyut stanayit nubihi varshad bir puya kesha shrik vin mutrastini chasakrit. Translation. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder, The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. Text 20. Kiriya pratyadrishyanta nana yuda muchonaga tegvasasu yatudanya kulinyo muktamurdhaja. Translation. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharge weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Text 21. Bahubir yaksha raksho bi patyashva rata kunjarai atatayi bir utrishta himsra vacho tivai shasaha. Translation. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. Text 22, we'll chant together. Pradushkritanam. Okay, I'll do the whole line. Pradushkritanam mayanam. Asurinam vinashayat. Sudarshanastram Bhagavan. Prayumta Daitam Tripat. Pradushkritanam Mayanam. Asurinam Vinashayat. Sudarshanastram Bhagavan. Prayumta Daitam Tripat. Pradushkritanam Mayanam. Asurinam Vinashayat. Sudarshanastram Bhagavan. Prayumta Daitam Tripat. Vaishnavis. Ishkitana Maina Aturiya Vinashaya Tanda. Produced Kritanam, displayed Mayanam, the magical forces. Asurinam, displayed by the demon. Vinashayat, desiring to destroy. Sudarshana Astram, the Sudarshan weapon. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prayunta, through. Daitam, beloved. Tripat, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged His beloved Sudarshana, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. Purport. Even famous yogis and demons can sometimes enact very magical feats by their mystic power. But in the presence of the Sudarshan chakra, when it is let loose by the Lord, all such magical jugglery is dispersed. The instance of the quarrel between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish is a practical example in this matter. Durvasa Muni wanted to display many magical wonders, but when the Sudarshan chakra appeared, Durvasa himself was afraid and fled to various planets for his personal protection. The Lord is described here as Tripat, which means He is the enjoyer of three kinds of sacrifices. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms that He is the beneficiary and enjoyer of all sacrifices, penances, and austerities. The Lord is the enjoyer of three kinds of yajna. As further described in Bhagavad Gita, there are sacrifices of goods, sacrifices of meditation, and sacrifices of philosophical speculation. Those on the paths of jnana, yoga, and karma all have to come in the end to the Supreme Lord, because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the Supreme Lord, is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. That is the perfection of all sacrifice. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam is so amazing. You know, sometimes there are these descriptions of great battles between great powerful forces. But, yeah, we're not meant to become totally absorbed in those amazing descriptions. We're meant to learn the lessons that are being conveyed by this fantastic imagery. In the later chapters or later cantos of the Bhagavatam, like Canto 12, it's directly stated there that although the Bhagavatam contains amazing accounts of great kings and demons and battles, and so that's meant to convey the importance and give a sense of opulence to the descriptions. But we're meant to get the lessons from it. Just like here, there's so much amazing imagery, stones being shot like they're coming out of a machine gun, demonesses. Actually, the word used in the Sanskrit there for that is yatudanya. And that is translated in various ways by Srila Prabhupada. Here it was naked demonesses. Sometimes the word witch is used. For example, Putana is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in Sanskrit as a yatudana. And that means her real form was as a demoness or a witch. But she was able to manifest herself in another form as well. You know, she was able to appear like a very beautiful, very well-mannered, nice young lady who could assist Mother Yashoda with Krishna as a child. But she had been sent by King Kamsa to search for the Supreme Lord, who had been born as a child somewhere in the Vrindavan area. So she had disguised herself like that and worked her way into the household of Nanda and Yashoda and noticed their child. And, you know, she was asked to serve as a nurse. And then she manifested her real form and tried to poison Krishna, but he managed to frustrate her in that regard. But even though she was a demoness, a yatudanya, she was elevated because she had tried to serve Krishna somehow. In his pastime, she was elevated to a position of a nurse in the spiritual world. So, ultimately, that is the position of everyone, Jivara Srupa Hoy Krishnera Net Yadas. But if we're not in that position, it's because we've decided to become independent enjoyers. And Krishna gives the independent enjoyers the facility for trying to enjoy themselves apart from him in the material world. And sometimes he gives them these asuras. You know, there are two types of living entities in the material world. There's the suras, those who are trying to understand their real nature, that they're not the bodies, that they're eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. They're trying to understand that nature. And they'll make progress in doing that, and Krishna will help them. But for those who are asuras, trying to enjoy themselves independently, trying to dominate, control, and exploit the resources of material nature, they are given facility to do that. And sometimes they're given great powers, like here on Yaksha, he's able to manifest these magical appearances of different weapons. He's able to manipulate the weather. He's able to do all this stuff. Or just like, you know, the demigods, they have their engineer and architect, Vishvakarma. So the asuras, they also have their engineer and architect, Maya Danava. You know, for example, he was able to construct the residences of the Nagas and the Asuras in the subterranean heavenly planets. And it's described that they're more opulent, really, than the residences of the demigods. So sometimes the materialists, the demons, the atheists are given fantastic powers. But in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the mentality of the demoniac people. Yes, they're able to manifest all kinds of seemingly wonderful things, but what is their purpose? Krishna explains in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they create horrible things meant to destroy the world. And just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, they've invented these nuclear weapons of which they're very proud. You know, how does a nation become known as being very powerful in the world today? It's if they can develop nuclear weapons. The United States did it. Russia did it. China did it. India did it. You know, they're so many countries that are that either have these nuclear weapons or they're trying to get them. So these asuras, they can manifest very wonderful things. Like here on Yaksha, he's manifesting these forms of different demonesses and demons and things like that. Of course, it's described in here that they're just a magical display. You know, like, you know, they have computer graphics companies today that can manifest very amazing things, you know, for films and things like that these days, video games and things like that. They're very realistic. I was telling one devotee the other day, a few years ago I was in the temple here, and a young woman comes in and she's looking around, and I decided to speak to her a little bit. I asked her, yeah, did you come here very much? Said, no, not really. I just decided to come today. I said, well, what do you do? She said, I make bodies. You know, she's worked for a graphics company called Digital Domain. And she said, I said, well, what kind of bodies do you make? She said, have you seen the movie Titanic? Said, yeah, I had seen it. Said, you know, the people walking around on the deck of the ship, I made them. You know, like, so she actually took a couple of us devotees to Digital Domain and showed us how she did that. But it's like Krishna has his own computer graphics, CGI company. He's got 33 million demigods working for him to produce this whole display, this virtual reality system in which those of us who aren't yet fit to exist in the real reality, the spiritual world, where everything is not threatened by non-existence. We may have these nice bodies, but they're temporary. They're not really substantial. And the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are like manifestations of Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra. They're meant to expose to us the illusory nature of this material world and these material bodies that we inhabit. Illusory not in the sense that they don't exist. The illusion of this material world is produced by an energy of Krishna. Any material body that we see in Bhagavad Gita, it states, is a combination of two things, of Krishna's material energy and Krishna's marginal energy, the material elements and the spirit soul, the jiva tattva. So, we see that those in with a demoniac mentality, sometimes they think they are all powerful. You know, that they've been given some ability to manipulate matter, and they think they become all powerful. But in the end, everyone learns that they're not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Hiranyaksha, he's manifesting these powerful magical illusions, but Krishna is more powerful. Krishna's Maya is more powerful than the Maya or energy or potency of these demons. So Krishna is demonstrating that here. And sometimes even Krishna's devotees, the suras, the demigods, they can become illusioned in the sense that they don't understand the real power of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna. The Supreme Controller is Krishna. So by performing austerities, even demons may get some power or potency, and then but they become deluded by it and think that they are the supreme personalities in the universe and that everyone should submit to them. But then they find out eventually that they're not, as Hiranyaksha is going to find out in just a short time here. So even the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, sometimes they become illusioned by their powers because Krishna gives them some authority to do something, you know, to perform some duty. Like Lord Brahma, he's given the duty of manifesting all the different types of material bodies a conditioned soul could occupy. And he also manifests the different planetary systems, the different locations or lokas in which those bodies are manifested and interact with each other. The virtual reality system of the material world is interactive and it's multi-user. But there's a supreme user or controller or actor, and that is the person who manifested the whole system. Why is Hiranyaksha able to manifest these magical elements. It's because Krishna has arranged for the material energy to be constructed in such a way that the different conditioned souls are able to control different aspects of it. But the whole system is created by Krishna. And just like somebody may manifest a website and you have access to different features of it according to your status. So Krishna has arranged that yes, even the demons, the asuras, they have access to certain aspects of the system, but they're not the supreme controllers. Krishna is. So, like even Lord Brahma, he became a little bit bewildered, and he wanted to use his mystic powers to test Krishna. He was used to conceiving of God in his Narayan form. But when he saw the activities of this child Krishna in Vrindavan, he was bewildered. Could that be Supreme Lord? Let me test. You know, so he stole Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and he stole their calves and put them away in some cave. But then Krishna manifested a duplicate set of cowherd boys and calves. And, you know, that's pretty amazing. They looked just like the original boys and calves. And they were so real that nobody knew the difference. But there was a slight difference, is that because these forms of cowherd boys and calves were, in fact, Krishna playing that role, their parents, their mothers and fathers, loved them even more than their original children. They just thought, this is so wonderful. And the cows, they became more affectionate to their calves than they had to their original ones. And then Balaram kind of noticed this, and he said, something's going on here. And he figured it out, that it was Krishna manifesting all these forms. But even Brahma, he was kind of bewildered. He said, I thought I put those cows and calves away in this cave, and what's going on here? You know, why, where did these other calves and cowherd boys come from? So he went and looked back in the cave, and he got totally bewildered. And then finally, Krishna displayed to him his four-armed Narayan form in the hearts of all these calves and boys that he had created. And then Lord Brahma understood his real position. So sometimes these things happen. So if we happen to be given some talent or ability, whatever it is, we shouldn't become proud of that and think, okay, now I'm the supreme controller. Maybe we're given some ability as an administrator or ability to acquire wealth or given some other opulence or talent or ability. But the real thing is to remember that it's only for the service of Krishna. It's like we see in our movement, there are people who have been given some opulence somehow or other, whether it's wealth, like we see devotees who have tremendous wealth, but they give it. They give huge portions of it to Krishna. And we see different devotees have different talents and abilities that they use in Krishna's service. So, but sometimes we have to be reminded what our position is. So, I'll stop there. Is any question or comment? Satya Noi.
Thank you, Prabhu. As far as the bewildering Maya, there's a story that I have a question. So there's a story in the Krishna book where at one point Krishna gets bewildered by one demon, I can't remember his name, when he showed him the head of the father of Krishna. And at that moment, Krishna becomes bewildered, morose. So the question is, was that affected by the Mahamaya or the demon, or is Yoga Maya acting in that particular time to bewilder Krishna? And if he did, if that happens, what was the reason that he bewildered him?
Well, the incident you're referring to has to do with King Shalva.
Correct.
Who was using a vimana, or a spacecraft, that was given to him by Maya Danava, who I mentioned before, who was the engineer of the demons. He had manifested for Shalva, who was kind of demoniac himself. He wanted to attack the city of Dwarka. And he used this vimana, which was made of metal, and it had some amazing powers. It could appear in several places at once, you know, so that the defenders of the city couldn't shoot it down. But it also had this ability to produce holographic images, you know, of people. So Krishna was defending the city of Dwarka from the attack of this vimana, which King Shalva was piloting. And at a certain point, the vimana was hovering over the city, and Shalva came down to fight with Krishna personally. So they were fighting, and then the Shalva disappeared, and then a messenger appeared on the battlefield and went up to Krishna and said, "Your mother has sent me to tell you that Shalva has captured your father." So Krishna at that time was a bit concerned, and then Shalva reappeared. And he had Krishna's father, Vasudev, in his arm, and he had a big sword. And then he said, "Krishna, I've got your father. Just see what I'm going to do to him." And he cut the head off of Krishna's father. The body fell down on the ground, and then he was kind of beamed back up into the vimana, and he was holding Krishna's father's head. Like you say, in terms of the pastime, Krishna appeared bewildered, but then he figured out that it was an illusion produced by the technology that had been given by Maya Danava in this Vimana, and that Shalva had made use of it to produce this illusion. And how in the Bhagavatam it says that Krishna figured it out. He says when Shalva went back up, was kind of beamed up back into the Vimana, which was hovering over the city, he noticed that the body on the ground disappeared. And the messenger who had been standing by also disappeared. So he figured out, oh, it's just an illusion that was temporarily produced. Of course, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't need to be told anything. He knows everything. He's all powerful, etc. But for the sake of the pastime, he appeared as if bewildered. It's like when the cowherd boys went into the mouth of the serpent. What was his name? Yeah. So Krishna was similarly bewildered. He was wondering, what am I going to do? My friends have gone into the mouth of this demon. If I destroy the demon, I'll destroy my friends. You know, he appeared as if bewildered. But that is for the sake of the pastime that Krishna appears bewildered like that. He can't come under the influence of Mahamaya, but he agrees to come under the influence of his yoga maya potency for the sake of enjoying a pastime, which is not only for his benefit, but for ours as well. So he figured out a way to kill the demon without destroying his friends. He went inside Agasura's mouth and expanded himself, kind of choking him, and his friends were able to come out. So, yeah, sometimes Krishna appears as if bewildered, but that's not the influence of his Mahamaya potency. He never comes under control of that. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.